Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello to everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today. And I'm your host, LaShonda Williams. I have a special guest with me today by the name of LaShonda Wilson. Yes, she has the same name that I have. Hers is just filled with a C, and mine is with an H. But she has a very, very, very powerful testimony that she will be sharing with us today. So I'm going to go ahead, and I want to do a few little announcements before I bring her on. First, I would like to say that I'm LaShonda Williams. I'm also a sexual abuse and relationships coach. I also have a page on Facebook if you would like to follow me, and it's called Thrive with Purpose. That's my coaching business. I like to pray with and help and do coaching sessions to help women that have been sexually abused or women that are in toxic relationships or abusive relationships that want to go through healing and deliverance. So you can look me up. My email address is LaShonda Williams, WILLIAMS, 10@AOL.com. That's LaShonda Williams. 10@AOL.com. If you would like to speak with me, if you would like prayer, or if you would like to know more about the services that I offer, you can email me, or you can also follow me on Facebook under LaShonda Williams. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. So today I would like to bring my special guest on. Her name is Mrs. LaShonda Wilson. Ms. LaShonda, how are you doing today?
I am doing awesome today. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well, and I thank you so much for accepting the invite to come on and share your testimony with us, because I know that it's sometimes difficult for women who have gone through things in their lives through abuse, molestation, rape, any type of abuse. It's very hard for them to be open about it and without, you know, expecting people to criticize or judgment. So we just appreciate you for coming on today, being open, honest, and transparent so that other women can see, just like God brought you through, that he can also bring them through. And it gives them hope. It gives them a hope that if God done it for you, he can do it for them. Because that's my whole message in everything that I do, to let people know that just like God brought you out, he brought me out, he healed my heart and delivered me, that he can do also the same for them, because he has no respect of person, because it is his will that we live a whole, healthy, and prosperous life. So, Ms. LaShonda, can you tell us a little bit about how you became healed from molestation and suffer from emotional and intimacy daddy issues? My first question is going to be, can you share with us at what age you were molested and how it affected your life?
Right. Well, when I first was molested, I was 10 years old by my cousin, and he raped me and took my virginity. And that affected me a lot. I kind of acted like, I don't know, I think I kind of acted like it didn't happen, because molestation, well, how can I put it? It kind of was normal on that side of the family. Like, they always tried to, that side was kind of incestuous anyway. But nobody had never attacked me like that, you know, so I just kind of ignored it. But at that time when I did get molested, it just, I don't know what it did to me, because I didn't know how to handle it for my own cousin. I didn't know who to tell, you know. I couldn't tell my auntie, which was her son. I didn't think she believed it. And I didn't want to tell my mom, because I was like, if I tell them, then what's going to happen? Because we come down here every Christmas and every summer. So I kind of just pushed it off to the side and just kind of act like it didn't happen for a while.
So when you were made to go around like family outings, because I kind of know about how you feel, because I was the same way. When you had to go to family outings and family get-togethers and stuff with this cousin, did he ever apologize for what he did to you, or ever accept the fact or said anything to you about what he done to you?
No. As a matter of fact, he tried it again, you know, over the years. Like, I remember them coming down to visit us And I remember everybody being asleep, and I remember him trying it again, you know, and I pushed him off or whatever, and I was like, leave or I'm going to. But I guess since they was at our house then, he just kind of left it alone. But he tried it over the years, and then come to find out, he had raped another one of my cousins. So, no, he never tried to apologize about it, ever.
My God.
I don't think he
Go ahead, sweetie.
I don't think he's seen nothing wrong with it because they was just, like I said, they were kind of incestuous. And I think that they, you know, I think down there cousins were labeled cousins and, you know, do that type of stuff. So to them, they seen, I don't think he's seen anything wrong with it, actually.
You know, I think that's a generational curse in a lot of our families because it's not just yours. It's mine as well. And when I came out with mine about being molested, you know, I found out that a lot of other, and I was attacked for it, you know, called a liar and she lying and she this and she that. But as I stepped forward and began to speak about it, I found out that not only did he molest me, but he also molested many of my other cousins in the family too. But they just never, they never spoke out about it, and they still to this day haven't. But I mean, it helped me, and I mean, I got delivered and I got healed, so I could care less what anybody else thought.
Right.
I was free. And my next question is, how old was he? Much older than you?
He probably was like 14 years old, so he was like 4 years older than me. He wasn't much older, but he was older and he was stronger, you know, and he already had his sexual, you know, whatever going. So, and he held me down, and it hurt, you know, like I remember.
I know.
And then it's so embarrassing because over the years you lie about stuff like that. Like, you know, I had to make up names about who took my virginity. I had made up like a whole story in my head. And I just held on to this lie for so long, you know, because he's like, who was your first? So you have to make up lies because you're not going to tell nobody that your cousin took your virginity. You know, like, just so embarrassing at that time. I'm not embarrassed anymore, you know, because I'm like, you know, I'm free now. But for years, it was a lie that I held on to.
Thank God. We thank God today for your deliverance. Thank you, Jesus.
Had I not been to church, I wouldn't be delivered. But LaShonda, he's not the reason I, you know, I think my daddy issues were the biggest issues I had concerning, like, you know, anything else that came after that. I think they were even worse than that issue, which might be the reason why I never really told nobody about, you know, what was going on. Because who was I going to tell? I wasn't going to go tell my daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you
well,
know,
I got
you don't
some
have
questions
that.
About that. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss that.
Okay.
Because I think so many of us young ladies, you know, that have been sexually abused or started having sex at a very young age, I think a lot of that stems from daddy issues. That's something that we don't discuss, but it needs to be discussed because not a little girl needs her daddy, and he's supposed to be our protector. And we don't have that in our lives, and we've been abused sexually or verbally, or however, in toxic relationships. I mean, in a sense, you know, people may say, "Well, that's not the father's," you know, that you can't hold him responsible. That in a sense, you can because he's the one supposed to be protecting his daughters. And a lot of time when we go out, we look for love because we're not getting that love and affection from our father that, you know, we're looking for it in other men. But my second question was, how did the molestation, how did it make you view sex? I mean, did it have you, did you like sex? Because I know when some people are abused sexually, some, it makes them very promiscuous. They like sex. It seems like they just got to have it. And some, in my case, like I was, I had a hatred toward sex. I hated to just even think about it. It was just sex was just so nasty to me. So how did you view sex after you had been molested?
So I'm going to get kind of graphic. I remember him, like, one time sneaking in and trying to, like, suck on my breast. And I remember pushing him away. And ever since then, I did not want men touching my breast. It just aggravated me. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when I did get sexually active, that part of my body was kind of off limits because of that moment. You know what I mean? It just disgusted me. I was like, don't touch them. Don't, like, and I don't think they could understand that. You know what I'm saying? And Lord forgive me, I'm kind of a bit graphic. I might have liked it oral sex, but I didn't want you going there. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't touch me there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just threw me off. You know what I'm saying? I remember that moment, and it's just like, oh, don't do it. Like, so, yeah, it just, you know, it had me aggravated with that. Not just with sex itself, because to me, God, okay, so to me, sex was like a form of intimacy. You know, like when you didn't get that love from your daddy, it's like I found a way to be loved. You know, I found a way to feel accepted. So that's what sex became to me, was a way to be accepted.
Yes, and I think a lot of girls feel that way.
That's exactly what it became. So it was just like a way to be accepted. And, it was the wrong thing. But like you say, when you don't have that guy, that father figure showing you what acceptance looks like, you know, or what a real man is to you, then you don't know. You'll tend to accept anything at that point, as long as it looks like it cares for you or looks like it loves you, then you're good with that. So, yeah. And then, you know, after that, like even with my cousin, he wasn't the only cousin who tried to molest me either. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, our family was very incestuous. Like they from Louisiana. I don't know if that means anything, but they vary like in the backwoods, you know what I'm saying? So that, like after that first time, it was whatever, but it was when I got older that it kind of bothered me a little more, you know? And it wasn't him. It was another cousin that I remember I went down there to visit, and I remember I moved down there to go to school. I couldn't tell this for a long time because I finally broke down and told my mom everything. And I remember it was me and another cousin, a girl cousin. This is just how bold they are. And I remember he parked on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere, and he looked, and he's like, I'm not leaving. You're not moving until somebody do something. You know what I mean? And I'm from Texas. I'm looking like, hey, what is he talking about? And she like, I ain't doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? So he looking at me. But I don't know. I don't even know if she knew, you know what I'm saying, what was going on. But I think she did because she had hung with them, you know what I'm saying? And he ended up raping me that night. You know what I'm saying? And he never told nobody. And then when I went to school that next day, I remember I was so disturbed. I was so disturbed. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I just felt like, what happened? You know what I'm saying? And he was much older than me. He was.
My God.
So. But he ended up raping one of our other cousins in front of her children. Yep. And he ended up going to prison. And they got mad at her when she told it, when she sent him to prison.
I'm sure they did. And that's, you know, that's really bad that when you're raped or molested as a child anyway. I mean, we're not even supposed to know what sex is. But we have this older person that's throwing us on the ground because that's how I was done and pushed on the ground and bumping my head, and like you said, it hurt really bad, and telling me you better not move, because it started at the age of 5 for me, and he was probably about maybe 13, 14, and so it was very hard, and the first thing they say, if you tell somebody, they're not going to believe you, and to be honest with you, that's what they do. They turn on you, and so that's why a lot of women, and that's why a lot of children aren't coming forward with being honest and telling their parents what happened to them because of they're scared of being rejected and nobody believing them. And they feel like, what's the use in telling somebody? Seems like they take the molester side or the rapist side.
So, I mean, when they're family, what usually do is talk about the mothers and the parents and all that. They usually do. They don't want to hear that their child did that. And I think sometimes they know how their children are. You know, you know, like with the black go on the house, stay in the house. Wait, wait a minute.
Yep.
You know,
that's a generational curse in this family.
Mm-hmm.
That is a generational curse. And like you said, you saying about the Louisiana, I mean, witchcraft is everywhere, but it's real prevalent down in that area, in that New Orleans and that Louisiana. It's real prevalent, too, as well. You know, in that area, that's another thing not discussed is witchcraft and sorcery, all of those types of things.
I know. I see my cousins do that stuff, try to get some men, just ridiculous.
Yeah. And people don't really believe that, but girl, I can tell you, it definitely happens, and it definitely will work. You got to be covered in the blood, but it definitely will work.
So, you know, people take all that stuff for granted, you know what I'm saying? And I remember seeing this man. He said he used to be a witch, and he said, while y'all getting ready for Christmas and Thanksgiving, we are doing spells and, you know, all that other stuff to take territory. And I was like, oh, my goodness, how prevalent is that? You know,
yeah, you're talking about John Ramirez. Yeah, you're talking about John Ramirez.
And I was, when I heard that, it was so prevalent. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, we do be over here kind of like in another world, and they'd be over there doing stuff we don't even think about. But yeah,
exactly.
So all that, you know, we're originally from Louisiana. So I would go down there and stay summers, and that's when I would get that other side. When I came to Texas, life is different. You know what I'm saying? We ain't have to be in the backwoods and all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I could say that probably being molested probably did open me up to sex too, you know what I'm saying, without me really knowing it, you know. And because I guess like after that first time, once it hurt then, it was just like, you know. But I don't think I really got sexually active until I was about 12 or 13, but still, that's young. You know what I'm saying, to be sexually
active. It sure is.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about full-blown sexually active. Yep.
Wow.
So
that goes to my third question.
Mm-hmm.
How did not receiving affection and intimacy from your daddy affect your life?
Man, it had me like, okay, so it had me seeking older men. I always liked the older men, and this is how I knew I got delivered. Because once I got delivered, I didn't want older men no more. I wanted men my age so I could grow with them. You know what I'm saying? Looking for that stability, you know what I'm saying, that love and affection. So then that's when the sexual activity came in, because that's where I felt loved at. You know what I'm saying? If I was laying down having sex with a man, I felt like he loved me. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't.
Yeah.
I remember skipping school almost every day. I probably skipped about 6 months of school trying, not straight, but I know I skipped a lot of school that year. You know, if I had an older boyfriend, I'll never forget, I was in 8th grade and he was in 12th. You know, like when you think about that stuff, it'd be like, God, you know, that is almost like pedophilic. You know what I'm saying? But you don't see that. You know, it's like no way that man could have loved me. You know what I'm saying? He just liked what I was doing because I was young and, you know, I wasn't out there. I think he even had a baby mama. You know what I'm saying? At that time, like, I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah, so
that's
what it led me to. And then my next one, I think by the time I was 15, he was 24 years old. Matter of fact, by the time I was 16, I had moved out my mom's house because me and my dad could not get along. And it was very toxic with us. So I had moved out by the time I was 16 with my 24-year-old boyfriend. You know, we had moved into an apartment, and he had a baby mama on the other side of town, you know, with two kids. And it was very bad. It was a very toxic relationship, very bad. Like, he would beat me. But this is the sad part. In him beating me and telling me he didn't want nobody else to have me, that made me feel good. Not the beating, but because he didn't want nobody else to have me. You know what I'm saying? Made me feel like, well, then he loves me. Just very confused. Because what I found out, LaShonda, is when you are used to dysfunction, then that's what you thrive with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was bad, you know, so. And then the beatings were bad, you know. I remember he kicked me in my stomach with some steel-toe boots as hard as he could. I'll never forget that, you know. But I still think. And I was young. I'm about 16 years old. He was a grown man, 24. And then he, like, accused me of making him lose his family. Wait, I didn't even know you had a family. You know what I mean? So in his eyes, I lost my family. Go anywhere, I would kill you. I'm like, oh, wow. So that's where I was in. And I had to move. I had to hide from him. I had to move with one of my friends and hide from him. Literally hide somewhere until I woke up one morning and he was standing over my bed. And I didn't know how he even found me. And he was like, I'll kill you. This is what he said. And he took off his pants and said, move over, and got in the bed with me. I'll never forget that.
My God.
Just talk talk about dysfunction.
My Lord.
But I think
so that brings me to my wrap-up question.
Okay.
Can you share with us how God has healed your heart and helped you to forgive? Did you forgive your abusers?
Absolutely.
Are you in the process of forgiving, being healed?
No, I forgave. No, I've already forgiven.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So can you share
and
with us how God has healed your heart and helped you to forgive and to move on in life? And, if you could say anything to the women that's under your voice, what would you say to them?
That forgiveness is everything, that you cannot hold them to that, because what you do is you hold yourself hostage. You know, it's like being in a jail. It's like putting somebody in a jail cell, but in order for them to stay there, you have to stay there with them. That's what unforgiveness is like. So you have to forgive and move on. Because if I don't forgive, there's no way I could ever be married. You know what I'm saying? Because then my husband would have to get that baggage, just ruin it. You know, there's no way I could really have healthy relationships if I'm not healed and made whole. You know, so God has done all that for me, and I am so grateful. And I look forward to having healthy relationships with people, you know, and being married one day and not carrying that baggage with me anymore. So I just hope and pray. And it's any woman is in a toxic relationship, I pray that she gets out that relationship and she moves forward, because it's not worth staying. It does not mean that a man loves you if he beats you, hits you, rapes you, forces you to do anything. That is not love at all, you know. And we're only like that. We only stay because we're confused or insecure or we don't know our worth for real. So, you know, I just pray that they don't stay there, that they don't deal with it.
Praise God. Well, we thank the Lord today for you sharing your testimony, Ms. LaShonda, and I thank God for what he has done in your life and what he is going to continue on to do. And I know he is going to bless you with a godly man that will love you, honor you, and respect you the way that he has called for him to do and the way he created for you to be treated, because you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made in God's sight. And you deserve. That's one thing a lot of women have to understand when they're in toxic relationships. A lot of times or abusive relationships, you suffer from low self-esteem. Because they've told you nobody else is going to want you, and you feel like you're stuck, like you have to stay. You feel under guilt and shame. But once you come to Christ and he heals you and delivers, he said, old things are passed new, behold, all things become new. So you are a new creation. And he does have somebody that will love you, honor you, and respect you as the woman of God that he has created you to. And you have to know that you deserve that. You have to know that you deserve that. So you don't have to settle for just anybody or any way for any man to treat you, because you don't have to settle. That's my motto. Never settle, because you're worth it. That's my motto, and I love it. Never settle,
that's a good
because
motto.
You are.
The one thing that I have learned, everybody deserves a clean slate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I cannot, I can't put that in the same box and be like, oh, because he was like that, he's like that. I think that's a problem that a lot of women have when they're not healed, and that's that extra baggage, like, everybody's the same, and they're not. Like, I know there's some really good men out there, you know, that don't have those issues. You know what I'm saying? And I know for a long time I had a wall up. So the healing is letting the wall down so you can experience a relationship, you know, versus in keeping yourself shut off all the time. Like, I ain't going to do that because I don't even want to risk, like, you know, dealing with this or dealing with that or dealing with somebody like my daddy or, you know, that stuff. So I appreciate you for having me on here, because each time I get to talk about it helps me more, you know, to clear my mind and to remember that I am free. That I can talk about it, because I don't get to talk about it. Mm-hmm.
Man, that's another thing. The Bible says we have overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And every time we speak our testimony, some woman needs to hear that. It, like I said, it gives them hope. You do not have to stay in that baggage. You do not have to stay in bondage. You do not have to stay in a toxic relationship. And you have to start, you know, being healed for you. One thing I've noticed, even in my, you know, with women that in ministry that I minister to or coach or whatever, a lot of women come for help. They say they want help. They say they want healing. But I have to stop them a lot of times because they're still so in bondage to where they're not even focused on their healing, but they're focused on him. They're focused on hoping
right.
he changed, hoping he'll accept them. And it just goes on and on. They can't even focus on their own personal healing for because
mm-hmm.
they have soul ties. That's another whole topic. But they are so souls are so entwined with this individual that they are in bondage and they need to be delivered and let them go. But that's all they think about is him. We're not talking about him. We're talking about you being healed.
So they need to be delivered from him, basically, not from a situation, but they need to be delivered from him, you know. And they say that's what they want, but they don't understand what deliverance looks like. Sometimes it means being separated from that person, you know,
yes.
and they have to be willing to do it. Yeah, so, but, you
because
know.
You can't be healed from a toxic relationship and from a toxic person if you're still choosing to be connected with them. You can't
no,
be
not
healed
even,
from
it
because you're willfully choosing to stay connected to them.
It's almost like trying to fight fire with fire. You're just going to get more fire. It makes no sense, you know. So you have to, you can't, you know. And the thing about it, as long as they're there, they still end up having sex. So when you talk about them soul ties, it's just even worse, you know. It gets deeper and deeper because it's hard to disconnect from something you're laying with. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be
exactly.
full of God if you're full of him. That's what my first lady always tell us. How are you going to be full of God when you're full of him? You know?
Exactly.
Like, oh, well. Yep.
And him, you make him your idol and your God, and you can't even focus on the God, the only one that can purge you, deliver you, and heal you, and make you whole. You can't focus on because your soul is so entwined and so tied. But like I said, that's another whole topic,
yeah.
girl, I will be talking. But, I just want to let you
know
once again.
I'm about to go into another topic with you, too, so we not, though. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, LaShonda.
But this isn't the last time that they will hear from you. This is not the last time that I will have you on. I will have you on once again, Lord's will, and we will discuss those soul ties. We will discuss them, you know, because a lot of women don't understand and know the depth of that sex is not just physical, but it's spiritual. And nobody talks about those spiritual soul ties, talks about the sex. That's spiritual.
Intimacy isn't even a physical thing. The Father wants to be intimate with us all the time, and he's not physically here. You know what I'm saying? We created that. I mean, it's a form of intimacy, but it does not have to always be physical, and I had to learn that myself. You know,
praise
intimacy
God.
Isn't touching and physical touching. So I had vowed to be celibate until I got married. You know what I'm saying? I've had enough sex to last me a lifetime. So that is my vow to God. I wear my little rings as a reminder, you know, so I could be waiting on my
praise
husband for
God.
Real, you know? Yeah.
Amen.
Because
God is able to
so,
keep you. I'm a living witness. He kept me, and I know he's able to keep you if you want to be kept. Well, I'm going to pray us out. I thank you so much for joining us, Ms. LaShonda. And once again, I would like to let my listeners know that if you would ever like to contact me for prayer or for knowing more about my services or if you would just like to speak with me, you can contact me. You can send me an email to LaShonda, LaShanda, Williams, WILLIAMS, the number 1010 at AOL.com. And thank you so much for joining us today. And we thank God for Ms. LaShonda Wilson coming on and sharing her testimony. I love you guys, and you all have a blessed rest of the day. And thank you, Ms. LaShonda.
No, thank you for having me.